Okay, so let's
get to start. We have only 2 hours this morning. Okay. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment once again, getting together for your kingdom, glory. Be prepared for your cause for the future, the missions that you have prepared for us in every corner of the world. Thank you for this opportunity to learn about language and languages. So, Lord, we will be ready, more ready for preaching, socializing, making friends, and serving you and the community better and better. Thank you. We commit these hours into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Do I look so strange?
I've been wearing burrow for 18 years, so that's very good. Very comfortable with the ties and old jackets. All right, so we're going to start with language and variation. Okay, on your CD-ROM or on your folder, you have a lot of different materials. CD-ROM, reading materials. If you go to the optional folder, you have an introduction to language. This is kind of an introduction textbook of linguistics. Concise Encyclopedia of Languages of the World. This is the second one. This is kind of perhaps illegal, I have to admit, but I picked this up somewhere on the internet. Internet library. Maybe the existence itself is illegal, but I was paying for that anyway. This is a concise encyclopedia of languages of the world. When you're sent to different places, you will be exposed to certain local languages, okay? So those languages are not necessarily major languages like French and German, okay? Rather, those languages are more local languages like Ilocano and Kankanai. And probably this one, concise encyclopedia, may have some information about the language you may have to learn. Okay, so it's kind of a collection of world languages. There may not be 5,000 or 7,000 entries, but this concise encyclopedia may cover more representative several hundreds of languages in your missions field. Okay. And number three, language in social context. This is only an article because language in social context is very important. Then the fourth one, linguistic diversity and English in the Philippines. So if you are sent to the Philippines, this article will help you because this tells what kind of language is spoken in the Philippines and what kind of English is spoken in the in the Philippines, okay? That may be different from English in England, English in the first diaspora, Ireland, Wales, and Scotland, English in the second diaspora, United States, and Australia, New Zealand. Of course, the Philippines has its own English, okay? The Philippine English. But this article discusses some characteristics of the Philippine English as well, right? Okay, okay, thank you, okay. second language acquisition, we talk about it today. Technology in the field. This is a chapter from a book of linguists who do their field work in somewhere in the world, okay? So many people go to Africa, many people go to Australia, just doing some investigations on Aborigine local people's languages. Okay, so these kinds of linguists are like missionaries. They go everywhere, they eat everywhere, and they make friends with everybody to do investigations of the local language. language. Okay, in the Philippines, we have a lot of linguists who are studying Philippine languages. But this chapter, Technology in the Field, is from that book, and this will help you to learn. Those technological issues in your missions field, because we have a lot of commonalities with the linguist, those linguists. So what kind of machines will help your language learning? What kind of machines, techniques, technology will help your going along with your local tutors or local informants? Okay, you understand? So that's why this chapter is included here as your optional reading. Classification of languages. Again, this resonates with the concise encyclopedia of world languages. Again, talking about different languages in the world. Again, the final one, the study of language. Okay, the study of language. This is, I highly recommend you to read sometime in the future. Okay, this is also an introductory textbook of linguistics, and this will give you a good idea, a lot of good ideas of what human languages is, and those that kind of knowledge will help you face your own target language. Okay, for example, phonetics, phonology. Okay, can you see? You cannot see, or phonetics, phonology. It's impossible to see that. Okay, talking about linguistic sounds. Okay, the sounds of language, a sound system, I should say. Then morphology and syntax. Morphology and syntax. Morphology is a subfield of linguistics. Talk about what's going on inside a word. How you make up a word. Okay? For example, if you say plane in English, what's going on inside a word of plane? Play and in, right? So playing consists of play and in, right? So what does play do? Yeah, talking about playing, right? So playing anything. What does ing in do? Yeah, sometimes it's kind of a continuous. I am playing baseball, basketball right now, right? And sometimes it conceptualizes the action of play, like playing tennis is fun. You understand? So making playing as making it a noun and making it a concept, right? So that's also a function of ing. Okay? Plays. If you say plays, okay? Not praise, but plays. PL. Right? Again, play and S. Right? Plays. What does play do? Yeah, of course it carries the meaning of play, right? And what does this S does? Yeah, sometimes it's kind of it has a grammatical function of he, she, it, right? I play, you play, but he plays, right? So S has that kind of function, right? But my dog plays, right? So you need S, right? So that's morphology, okay? Morphology. Morphor means form. So morphology is the study of forms, all right? So morphology talks about how your word is built up into a more integrated word, okay? In Ilocano, I say, maraksakanak. Maraksakanak.
Maraklas.
This is one word, okay? Marasakan. Okay? But again, there are parts included. Okay? Ma, raksak, okay? So in this one word, maraksakan, you have actually four parts. Okay? And up is for, you learned this one. You learned this last week. Means I. Okay? Raksak is joy or happiness. Okay? And ma'an, sandwiches, raksak, to make a verb. Okay? To become. Okay? So, or more roughly, be. So, maraksakan is, I am happy. Okay? Because something happened. Before I was not happy, but now I'm happy. Or I am in the state of happy. So this is morphology. This is morphology. How one word is built up. So if you read a chapter of morphology in George Yule's Introduction to Linguistics as the Study of Language, you will learn how to analyze words in your missionary context. Okay? All right? Do you understand? But maraksakanak can be used with other words. Okay? A very famous fixed expression is maraksakanak. Mag-amma mo kala kay amin. Right? Maraksakan ta maka ammo kada kayo amin. Okay? Maraksakan ta mag-amma mo kala kay amin. It's nice. This means I'm happy to know you. I'm happy to meet you. Okay? Ta, because pag-ama mo, get to know. Okay? Kada kayo, you, plural. Okay? Amin, o. Sa inyo lahat. Okay? Maraksak na mag-ama mo, kada kayo amin. Okay? So this is one sentence. Right? Making up with one word, two words, three words, four words, and five words. Okay? So this one sentence is of five words. Right? If you talk about only one word, ma raksak na an ak, that's morphology, right? But when words are combined into a phrase or a sentence, it's not morphology anymore. It's that kind of study analysis is called syntax. Okay. Morphology is for words and syntax is for sentences. Right? So if you read these chapters in those introductory textbooks, you will learn how to analyze, how to understand what's going on in the language you're facing. So if you have this kind of knowledge, even a bit, it'll be much better. It will be much easier for you to learn that language because you can analyze, you can start thinking, you can start, substituting, trying, and so on. And even if you know, maraksakanak means I am happy, you may guess. Then how can we say you are happy? Right? Then, if you have this kind of analytic knowledge of the language, your learning will be easier. Yeah, if you want to say you are happy, yeah, your question will be, then, how can I say if I want to say you? Yeah, of course, these parts will be changed, but if you mean you are happy, yeah, you change this part, right? How? Ka. Yeah, that's right. Okay? If you change it to ka, in Ilocano, maraksakana,
Maragsakan ka. Okay? As you are happy. Okay? If you want to say he, again, you change this part. If you want to say we, you change this part. And if you want to say, okay, how can we say we are happy? And you will have a problem. Maybe kami or kayo. Good. So you have two forms for we. Yeah. Maragsakan kami. Maragsakan tayo. Then you can ask another question. What is the difference between maragsakan kami and maragsakan tayo? Right? Why do we have two different kinds of we? Then you can ask Venus, and Venus has an answer. Okay? If you say kami, yeah, that's right. That's right. The listeners are not included. Okay? But if you say tayo, we. Okay? So we, yeah, or we exclusive. And inclusive we, okay? So, this kind of, how can I say, technique of analysis will help you be more critical, more objective, and more analytic for you to come up with more proper questions in your interviewing or going along with your native speakers, okay? All right. That's a set morphology and syntax. Then, semantics is a field of meaning. Pragmatics, how to use it. Then, discourse analysis and so on. Okay? So, but please, after this period, after these 2 weeks, okay, even within April, or even May or soon, before you forget everything, please open the file of George Yule, the study of language, and try to pick up some chapters. Okay? Because this is a very, very reader-friendly textbook. So you don't need my help. Okay? Just read and study. So your view of language will change. Okay, so in this course, in this MTI this year, we cannot really go into these details of technicality of linguistics, but we will like to talk about language and variation first, because this is what everyone can easily understand based on our daily experiences. Okay, you don't need any technical knowledge of linguistics to talk about variation. But the variation is very important to missionary activities because it relates to what kind of language in that language. Do you understand? What kind of language, what kind of variation in that language you may want to or have to choose to learn as a missionary for a more effective communication with your people. Okay? Okay. This is based on George Yule again. George Yule, the same textbook I've been mentioning, all right, talking about. The first topic is the standard language. Okay? So there's a variation called standard. You can just imagine in your country, do you have a standard language? Yeah. And what is your standard language? Of course, it's closely related to your country name. Right? Japan, Japanese, Korea, Korean, right? The Philippines, Filipino. Not necessarily Tagalog, right? Tagalog can be deeper and more regional, like Batangas, and but Filipino is kind of a light version of Tagalog.
so that everybody in the Philippines will learn in the school in this country, right? Nepali, Mandarin. Yep. We have a standard language clearly associated with education and broadcasting, right? And also in printing, right? Newspapers will come in the standard language. A lot of books will come in the standard language. Okay? A lot of songs will come in the standard language, right? Then, on contrast to the standard language, we have words and expressions, accent and dialect, right? Accent, and that he has an accent, right? He speaks in a dialect, okay? So what is the difference between this standard language and a dialect? Or standard language and another language. If you come to an Ilocano speaker, you know, and ask, what is the language? And she will say, Ilocano. But it's not a language, it's only a dialect. Right? He may say that. Dialect of what? Dialect of Tagalog. And you may say, or you may disagree. Right? But what is the standard language and a dialect? What is a standard language and another language? Essentially, the question is, what is the difference between a language and a dialect? A language and a dialect, right? One language, they are, of course, different. That's why, you know, we call it, this is one language and this is one language, right? But the difference between those two languages, okay? And the difference between a language and a dialect. How do you define the difference between a language and a dialect? The answer is really, really blur. Because actually, there's no clear distinction between a language and a dialect. It's only a matter of degree, okay? Matter of social perception, okay? Sometimes they say, you know, we have one language, and in the next village, they have another language, okay? But when linguists come, and they make some surveys, and oftentimes those linguists may conclude, no. Your language and their language are not really two languages, but you belong to one same language and you speak only two different dialects. So language and dialect, they are matter of degrees. How you think, how you feel, how those local people feel. And how those local people define themselves. I think about, Spanish in South America and Portuguese in Brazil. Okay, so Latin America. Imagine Latin America. Okay, Latin America, Spanish, and Portuguese. You know, they are two different languages, right? Spanish and Portuguese. But their distance, how they share their vocabulary, how they share their grammar, pronunciations, could be much closer, okay? Much closer than Tokyo Japanese and Okinawa Japanese.
And we say that Tokyo Japanese is a dialect. And Okinawa Japanese is a dialect. And we both belong to the Japanese. But maybe Tokyo Japanese and Okinawa dialect can be this far. And Latin American Spanish and Portuguese can be this close. Okay? Do you understand? So, dialect and language are kind of arbitrary labels that historically and traditionally people have put on those variations, varieties. Okay? So think about your country. Do you see similar phenomena? You know, Seoul dialect and Jeju dialect could be very different, right? Or Beijing dialect and Yunnan dialect could be, I don't know. You know, China is an interesting country. It's really, really homogeneous in that vast land of the territory. Okay? But once you pick up Shanghai dialect and Hokkien dialect and some minority groups, of course, like Hua or, right? You know, minority groups. And maybe, you know, far difference that you can call them as different languages. Now, speaking of Tagalog and Ilocano, linguists may come to agreement that they are two different languages. Because grammatically, they are quite in parallel. Okay? Of course, there are differences. But grammatically speaking, Tagalog and Ilocano are similar, like Korean and Japanese. And how about pronunciations? Like Tagalog pronunciations, Ilocano pronunciations, almost the same. Right? Five vowels and same set of consonants. Right? So the fundamental difference between Tagalog and Ilocano is vocabulary. Okay? Vocabulary. So if vocabulary is very different, maybe chances are those are very different languages.
They cannot.
They cannot. Unless they have learned the other one. There are some similarities. Especially when they share the same root, like raksak, kapi. How do you say "let's have coffee" in Tagalog? Kapi tayo, right? Kapi tayo. Kapi tayo. How do you say "let's have coffee" in Ilocano? Yeah, akapi. Akapi tayo. Let's have coffee, right? Akapi tayo. Let's have coffee. Tayo is inclusive, right? So in Tagalog, kapi tayo. In Ilocano, akapi tayo. Again, you see some differences already. You know, they share the same vocabulary here, right, to mean we. Right? Again, but in Ilocano, they usually put ag to make it a verb. Okay? Do you say magkapi tayo?
Yes.
Yeah? In Tagalog, you can say magkapi tayo. Right? The grammar is quite parallel, as I told you, because mag is part to make it a verb. Okay? Ag is a part to make it a verb in Ilocano. Okay? in transit verb. Okay? And tayo, tayo we subject. Right? So grammatically, verbalizer and the root, then the subject comes after that. Right? Verbalizer, root and the subject comes afterward. Okay, so grammatically speaking, Tagalog and Ilocano are in parallel in these examples. But still, you can see the difference here. Tagalog uses mag and Ilocano uses ag. Right? And if you only look at these two examples, you may still say, oh, so then Tagalog and Ilocano can be just dialects. But if you see many other examples, oh, they are very different in terms of vocabulary.
So can it be considered like two dialects?
So that's why I'm saying the difference is a matter of degree. So the key is maybe how much percent do you overlap? Does Tagalog in Manila and Tagalog in Bulacan overlap? Okay, if you say 90, perhaps you can say dialects, right? But Ilocano and Tagalog, maybe you can say 10, right? Very low. Okay, so the percentage is higher. If the percentage is higher, then chances are those are different languages. No, dialects. But the percentage is lower, then they can be languages. But, you know, not everyone is a linguist and not everyone has a professional linguistic training. This is the difficulty when you talk about human language. Though not everyone is a linguist and not everyone is professional linguist, everyone has a language. Right? So that's why when you go to your mission field, you face something called folk linguistics. Okay? You have good knowledge, properly trained, good knowledge of linguistics from the textbook and classroom, and you go into the field well ready. But what you face is what people say. What people say is a kind of folk linguistics. You say, your language and your next village language, they are just dialects, and they may be angry. No, we speak in different languages. Right? Because that's how they perceive their own village and the neighboring village, especially when they are in a very bad relationship. Right? They don't want to identify themselves with village people in the next village. All right? So when you actually start working with your language partner, informant, and local helpers, you have to control yourself, otherwise you're so frustrated. Because they have authority, because they are the native speakers, right? And you know more technical stuff, right? So you may want to counter-argue, you are wrong. But that will destroy your relationship with your native people and your missions will be done. Right? So, knowing and learning about language, human language, and the languages of the field and technical knowledge of linguistics is one thing. Okay? But listening to your local informants is another. Okay? So, you can just respect them, respect what they say, learn from them if you think what they are saying is right. But if what they're saying is obviously wrong, you need wisdom. Okay? Don't counter-argue. Keep quiet. Do what you have to do.
Because your ultimate goal is to maintain good relationship with them and also learn the language for gospel sharing. Okay? So it's a little bit sidetracked from the difference between language and dialect. But do you have a good image of the difference between language and language and different between language and the dialect? Okay? The key word is percentage. Okay? Then anyway, you are not going to be a professional linguist. So just focus on learning. Just focus on relationships. And just focus on preaching. Okay? But still, hopefully this kind of textbook knowledge will help. When you talk about not only regional dialects, but also your target mission language, missionary language, you know, norms is a good word for you to remember.
Barbara, I'm still in town because of some. Okay, good.
Thank you. Norms, non-mobile, older, rural, male speakers.
Basically, farmers.
Farmers. Non-mobile, older, rural, male speakers. These people really maintain the language of the land. They don't go anywhere. They didn't come from other places. They were born there. They were brought up there. They were educated there. They have lived there. And they maintain the language of the land. Okay? So norms. Maybe if you want to have an ultimate answer, you find one norm or several norm in the land, non-mobile, older, rural, male speaker or speakers to ask questions. Okay? They are walking dictionaries of the village or the land or the area. Okay? But, you know, you are not doing a linguistic study, but you learn the language for communication. Okay? So you don't have to stick to these norms, people. Okay? As we already discussed yesterday, it's better for you to find someone like you. Someone like you in the village, in the town. Okay,
someone
if you're
like us,
that's right. Start, yeah, to learn the language with as a tutor. Yeah, as a tutor. So in your case, maybe around in 20s, male, right? Yeah. Equally educated if you're lucky. Okay? But sometimes you have to learn from someone who is less educated than you, and you need a little more patience because you know more and he doesn't know a lot. Okay. Then hopefully non-mobile, meaning that the person who was born and raised in the place, right? But what do you think? What do you think? Of course, such people, non-mobile people, may maintain a good variety of the language, right? Because they have never been to other places. But what do you think? If the person, as long as the person is a good speaker of the language, maybe mobile or non-mobile is not so important. It's okay if the person has studied in another town and came back for work. Right? Why? Because once you go out of your place, you can see your own language in a more objective way. You understand? Once you come to Baguio and you are exposed to Ilocano speaking people, now perhaps you know something is being born in yourself to see Tagalog in a more objective way. Because naturally you compare Tagalog with Ilocano, right? You already compare Korean and English very well, so you know perhaps more about your own Korean than those who have never been to foreign countries but stayed in Korea, right? So this element, mobile or non-mobile, is not really a decisive factor. Perhaps those people who have once out of the area can teach the language to you better. Yeah. Because they know what they are doing objectively. Okay, I told you native speakers are best teachers but worst teachers. Right? Because they cannot explain. Right? But those people who have ever out of the area could teach the language in a better way because they know, you know, more objectively. All right? So in this discussion, perhaps the age will be important, the gender will be important, okay? But just consider what kind of tutors you may want to have in your missions field. Okay? All right. Then dialect continuum. This is also important. Because when you just ask them, how do you call, what do you call, dog? They say something. But in the next village, they call dogs with a different word. Okay, that's possible, right? And here is another village that calls dog one way, A, and here is another village that calls dog another way. Okay, so you can draw a line here, okay? And you can come to a good conclusion that this belongs to one dialect and this belongs to another dialect, or this belongs to one language and this belongs to another language. Okay? However, if you come to cat, and if you come to cat, they call it this way, they call it this way, but they also call it this way. Okay? And they call it this way and they call it this way, but here, only here, they call it this way. Right? So you have to modify, or you have to add another line for cat. So this time, the cat line, cat border comes this way. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, now chicken. Chicken. Here, they call it this way. 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 But chicken, in this village, they call it this way. And they call it this way. Oh my goodness. So the chicken line will be this way. All right? So this is the dog line, this is the cat line, and this is the chicken line. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? You know, there's no clear-cut one line to make a distinction between two dialects and languages. Okay? It's more like, maybe probably this is the zone that, you know, make a distinction between two variations. Do you understand? So nobody can really draw a clear line from here, they speak a different language. Okay? Only folk linguistics may say. Some people say, oh, my language is different from theirs. Unless they have a big river, unless they have a big jungle with a lot of tigers and lions. Okay? So it's a continuum. All right. Now, let's move on to other topics. Bilingualism is an important concept. And I told you, most of people in the world are bilinguals or multilinguals. Okay? So that's why if you're from Japan, if you're from Korea, you know, we believe that we only speak in one language. We'll be shocked and surprised sometimes because those local village people can speak three languages or four languages, and sometimes they say seven, or sometimes they say ten. But just think, that's a normal way to live, okay? We are too much spoiled in Japan and Korea with only one language. Right, easy life. Right, easy life. But bilingualism is a reality of the world. Okay? And the Filipinos are excellent in bilingualism, though there may be differences of degrees. Diglossia. Okay, diglossia. You know, did you find something interesting? Because some of your village people last weekend, they speak in Kankanawe. At home, right? In their families. But when they come and when they have a service, those families are mostly Kankanawe families, but they have their service in Ilocano. Don't you find it interesting? Why do you have to change your language? Your house language and your church language. And then, you know, if you observe well, the church service officially is in Ilocano. But once the service is over, then when they start preparing lunch, they speak in Kankanawe because that's their heart language, and that's easier for them to speak in Kankanawe to one another. But in the official setting of the service, MC stands up, or they come to the pulpit and share their testimonies. Sometimes they don't care, they speak in Kankanawe because they are themselves. But sometimes they intentionally change the code. You know, just whispering to the next seatmate in Kankanawe, but coming to the pulpit, she suddenly starts speaking in Ilocano because that's official. But then said, that kind of language use is called diglossia. Okay? So in Muslim countries, the same things happen because they speak in their regional Arabic at home. But all of a sudden, when it comes to the service, worship, they use classical Arabic from 1,500 years ago. Quran language. The Roman Catholic people are doing the same, right? Until 1960s, until Vatican II. All the masses were done in Latin. Right? Only Protestants protested. Protestants protested and translated the Bible into local languages like French and German and English and Tagalog, right? But Latin, Roman Catholic people were maintaining this diglossia until 1960s. The priests were preaching and reading their sermons in Latin, right? So nobody understood. That's ridiculous. But Latin sounded somehow appreciative.
Heavenly
language. So that's why when priests started to speak in local languages, that sounded really vulgar and, you know, it's not really official and effective, and we may lose our salvation. You understand? That's diglossia. So when you go to your mission field, please observe well. So that's why it's included in your questionnaire. What language do
do they use in the service? What language do they use in their family Bible study? Right? What language do they use to share their testimonies? Because those varieties are the varieties you may have to learn to be effective missionaries. Okay? Diglossia. Oftentimes in religion, oftentimes in politics, you know, the Philippine diglossia is very interesting because the daily life is in local languages, but when it comes to politics, you know, politicians all of a sudden start speaking in English. So many politicians still prefer to deliver their political speeches in English. That's very interesting, because that's how they were exercising diglossia at least long time ago, in the 1950s and 60s, strongly influenced by the United States early in the previous century. So English was a political language. But today it's changing. President Rodrigo Duterte, he doesn't hesitate to speak in Tagalog. Yeah, in Cebuano. Yeah, so it's changing. Okay, but understanding this kind of concept will help you to observe what's going on in your missions field. Okay, so if one certain language is the service language, maybe you should learn that. Otherwise, you couldn't preach. Okay? In the Philippines, the binding is not too tight. In a Ilocano service church, if I preach in Kankanawi, they'll be happy. They will laugh at me, of course, yeah. But they will be happy. They will not be offended, what I mean is. But in some areas of the world, you know, the language like Ilocano in this example is a sacred language, like Latin, classical Arabic. So if you don't preach in that language, they will not hear you. Okay? Because in their folk linguistics, the language you have learned may be despised or not appropriate for religious services, right? And the worst case is they may be offended. And the worst case, maybe some of them may go home. Yeah. So that much, this is a very sensitive thing, okay? Code switching. Code switching is you change your code. Yeah, when I speak to the Filipino people, sometimes I change my English to a more Filipino variation. Okay? Or write a language and regional variation. Okay, like this. Bilingualism. Not national bilingualism, individual bilingualism means attention in terms MK education. The Filipino accent. Yeah, that's right. So in the Filipino variation, it's not India, but India. India. Because, sometimes when you change the code, but if I continue, though I'm not a Filipino, but if I continue with this kind of accent, you may laugh, right? It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. And some of you may be offended. You know, are you kind of ridiculing me? Just speak straightly, you may say, especially if you're from Vietnam, you're not Filipino. So why do you speak in a Filipino accent? code switching is very powerful if you can to create your bond with local people. Okay? Because dialects and their own variation
will help you to create better bonding. And that's why we learn language anyway. There are languages anyway, right? You can preach the gospel in English if they understand English, but if you use Ilocano, they will be more amused and they will be more attractive and they will open their hearts more, right? Widely. So code switching could be a powerful tool if you can. At first, you can just focus on one language, only one language. Learn one language first, but the more you stay, the longer your stay is, the more variations you try so that you can attract more different kinds of people's attention and affection. All right? Okay, lang. Okay? Okay, okay, na lang. Okay. Strange. Okay. Language planning is important if you are involved in Bible translation or broadcasting, especially those AIMM media people. Because language planning is what the government is thinking about their national language. All right, so we learned the example of Vietnamese yesterday, and someone wanted to change Vietnamese very radically. That's part of language planning, but many people were against it, and that was rejected. Right? But if that idea actually came true, you know, you would have to change the Bible translation. You would have to change the language of broadcasting, right? Your whole missionary work may change. Okay, so this idea of language planning is high at the government level, but missionaries must be very keen to the language policies and language situations of your missionary mission field. Okay? Pidgin and Creole. These are interesting. Pidgin is what? When you try to learn a new language, that's already Pidgin. You know, when Japanese try to learn English, it's already Pidgin. Pidgin English in Japan. So they say, I like chocolate. Yeah, I love Jesus Christ. Yeah, I am a Christian. That's already Pidgin English in Japan. So Pidgin is that kind of variation that is accommodated in the place. All right. It's kind of you can just in folk linguistics you can just call Pidgin accented English, accented what? Okay. So my Ilocano is forever Pidgin Ilocano. Because this native speaker of Japanese lifelong learning Ilocano. So that's why my Ilocano is Pidgin. But Creole is over generational. You know, if I master English, and if my daughter learns English from me, and my strange English, Pidgin English, accented English, will be my daughter's mother tongue, father tongue, mother tongue. That's Creole. Okay? Once Pidgin is fixed in a certain place over different generations, that's called a Creole. All right? So in that sense, our discussion may connect with Englishes in different diasporas. Filipino English, right? Maybe no Filipinos today learn English from their teachers and medias and textbooks and foreigners alone. Most, I should say, all Filipinos learn English from their parents. Right? More or less. Because their parents are good English speakers. Anyway, right? So from the time being a baby, they are exposed to their parents' English and friends' English, neighbors' English. Okay? Then when they start going to school, they learn English from their Filipino teachers' English. Filipino teachers, right? Only when, probably, when they go to college or high school, they may be exposed to foreign teachers from England or second diaspora, the United States, in many cases, Canada, right? So in that sense, the Filipino English is a huge, established, over 100 years plus Creole. You understand? It's already very far from England's English. Okay? Very far from the United States English, American English, because the United States was gone after the Philippines was independent. Baguio people were still blessed because they had an American base here until 1990s. Right? So they had more opportunity to learn English directly from those American soldiers. Right? But a lot of Filipinos don't care. This is our English. Right? So that's why. You know, that's very different from Japan. In Japan, there is no such environment. You can live without knowing any English forever. So that's why the only way we can learn English is from radio, TV, foreign teachers. And we say, oh, we are unlucky because our Japanese English teachers are terrible. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, teacher. Yeah, right? Merry Christmas. Right? We unfortunately, because Japanese want to learn English from native speakers. Right? So that's why today Filipino English teachers are very popular in Japan, because Japanese people know Filipinos are very kind and patient and good in teaching and so on. Though a lot of teachers still have the Philippine accent. Today, Japanese mind are changing. Korean mind is also changing. It's okay. We can learn English first from Filipino teachers. But many Japanese and Korean people still say, students still say, I'm sorry, after this, we will go to the United States. After this, we will go to Australia to learn real English. Sorry to Filipinos. But, you know, so the Philippine context and the Japanese context are very different. For us, learning English is English, American English, Australian English, British English, those first and second diaspora English. First, second, third diaspora English. That's our English. Filipino English, I'm sorry, that's not English to many Japanese people. So that's why when I came to the Philippines, okay, this is a real important part. So when I came to the Philippines, all my English was artificially learned, textbook, more American English. Because that was English to me. Understand? So when I started preaching here in the Philippines, with that artificial English. Many Filipino congregations, you know, brothers and sisters, Pastor, why do you speak like an American? Why do you preach like them? You are Japanese, and why do you preach like Americans? Please preach like Japanese, or please preach like us. They didn't like my English. they felt somehow artificial and far and not really attaching to them. So that's the time I started learning the Philippine variation of English and started to preach in Filipino English, because that really appealed to the local congregation. Though they understand English, but they still love the Philippine Creole, because that's their heart language, heart English. Okay? Right? Okay. Tofu Tomic question. Okay? So this is a thing. Chocolate or candy or whatever. And this is a person. Okay, what do you put there? Tofu Tomic question. Zero, first, second diaspora English question. English, British, British English, American English, Canadian, Australian, New Zealand English question. What is the preposition there? Exactly. Right. Well, in the Philippines, they never say never. But many people say, right? Share too. Okay? Because, okay, this is not a matter of right and wrong, correct and incorrect. Okay? In TOEIC, in TOEFL, IELTS, if you choose two, that's wrong. Because those international tests are made in those English-speaking countries. But for Filipinos, this is the correct one. This is weird. Right? Because you share, right? So for those Americans and Canadians and so on, the concept of share is this. Right? But in the Philippine context, is share is more used in the sense of give. Right? But give is too strong. I give this to you. Sounding like I'm high and you're low, I'll give this to you. But share has the kind of egalitarian connotation, right? Equal. So that's why many people prefer to use, I will share this to you. Do you understand what I mean? All right? So we are talking about different Englishes. Okay? And this applies to those zero, first, second diasporas. Okay? Until New Zealand. But today, this applies to most of the world. Perhaps. Not only in Asia, but in different places. A lot of people use two, because that's more intuitional, right? Give something to you, share something to you. Right? You understand? So, this is one of the examples that these Pidgin, Creole, these ideas may help us. Okay? When we see local languages, we cannot be quickly judgmental, because there is a history behind it, right? And there is a reason behind it. And if you say, okay, give this to you, then share, I will share my chocolate to you. Yeah, once you think of it. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, I understand why you say two. Right? Now I agree. So your English will change. Right? So don't be too quickly too judgmental. Because all languages are, in one sense or another, or more or less, Pidgins and Creoles. Local languages must be, local variations must be, local dialects must be respected. Okay? So don't say, this is the textbook language, you have to correct yourself. Because folk, people are very strong. People power is very strong. Just
do as Romans do when you in Rome. So you cannot change the whole society. Just give it up. Just give it up. Just give it up.
I still have to teach to my English students here at APTS because this is the test language. Okay? But outside in the field, I will not be really strict that much because we can be accommodating. We can be adjustable. Okay. All right. Any questions and answers? Are these concepts helpful?
Yes.
Yeah. Then, now you're kind of trying hard to pick up these concepts. But once you are good friends with these concepts, probably you can start looking at your own country. Yeah. Think about Vietnam. Think about Nepal. And think about the Philippines. You can probably, little by little, understand what I'm saying and that's what's going on in this country right now. That's why he speaks this way, and that's why they speak that way. Okay, so your perspectives on language will be wider and more. How can I say? Objective and helpful. All right, we'll move on. I should have said this at the beginning of my class, but because Dr. Dave was around, so I didn't say that. But I will not be offended if you sleep in my class. Serious, okay? I understand your heavy situation, hectic schedule. So feel free to sleep, okay? So I will be very happy. You are so peaceful. to fall asleep, all right? So, but power naps, okay? Power naps work, okay? Just fall asleep for 20 seconds or 2 minutes or 20 minutes, and just please come back.
We have to do this.
Now, there was a problem in Japan several days ago because one mayor just fell down on a sumo field, and sumo field is traditionally considered as holy, so sacred. That's why no women cannot be on it, but because the situation was life and death. It was a stroke, so that's why some female medical staff got on the ring and tried to rescue the mayor. But there was an announcement: ladies, get off the ring. So many Japanese people were surprised, and many women were offended. What? A person is in danger of life and death, and why women cannot be still on the ring of this small wrestling? Japan is a crazy country. oh boy. Okay, so speech community, you don't need a lot of explanations. Community bond by a certain variation of language, right? So more or less, you will be sent to a certain speech community as a missionary, okay? And sociolinguistics is a field to learn and analyze these things. And here, we talked about regional dialects, geographical, but also learn something called social dialects. Social dialects are different varieties of language based on education, based on jobs, based on economic status. Okay, so that's why middle class and working class. All right. Sometimes different languages can be found, not only regionally, not only village by village, but different languages can be found depending on certain groups of people. Okay? So when you try to reach out to college students, when you try to reach out to rich people, when I try to reach out to politicians, you should be aware the language is different. Right? If you preach to politicians like you preach to your college students, they will be surely offended. Do you understand? If you preach to rich people as you preach to farmers, I mean, there are rich farmers anyway, okay? But, you know what I mean, rich business people, then they will be offended because their language is not appropriate to those particular groups of people, all right? So be aware in your missions field how young people are speaking, how politicians are speaking, how farmers and how economically blessed people are, rich people are speaking. Okay, social dialects. Social dialects. And think about yourself. Think about your education. Think about your job as a missionary. Think about your family, economic background. And think about your language. Is your language not different from other friends, right? That's social backgrounds, all right? So we have to be, we should better be sensitive to those social backgrounds and also social variations of language. And if you go out of it with this kind of thinking, social backgrounds, educational, economic, occupational, and you will come to a conclusion of what is called idiolect. Idiolect is the language variation that the person speaks. Okay? Ultimately speaking, there's no identical idiolect. Okay? Even husband and wife, right? Even husband and wife, your language is different. Right? Even from Japan, my language and Mimi's language are different because we are from different backgrounds. Okay, I'm a missionary and Mimi is a pastor or missionary pastor who wants to be a missionary. We share something, but still we are very different because Mimi's education and my education is different. Okinawa and Osaka are so different. Right, and my family economical situation when I was a child and Mimi's family's economical situation when she was a child must be different. Okay, so be kind to others, be tolerant to others. Still, I'm very strict to my wife, but everybody speaks a different language. So here, yeah, you see talks like a book, missionaries, pitfall. If you only learn your missionary language from your textbook and CDs, you will speak like a textbook. Your idiolect will be like a textbook idiolect language.
Is there any struggle in this because it came from textbook more than other languages, that, you know, when you hear something that is wrong, it gives...
You know, because of my education, and I was trained as a linguist and also a language teacher, English and Japanese mainly. So that's why, actually, that too was so irritating to me. So every time I see, I hear share too, it's like, and you know, APTS school song, there's a line like this, share thy word with blah, blah, blah. But a lot of Asian students were singing, share thy word to blah, blah, blah. To, with a, what's that? With a, na, 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 the lost, their and annoyingness with a, so this is part of our school anthem. So even at the formal official graduation ceremony, those Asian classmates were singing "Cheer to the People" and "Lost." And I was like, and also American missionaries were like, that's from my educational background. My textbook English, right? My TOEFL English, all right? But the more I was with Filipino friends, then I have built up more tolerance, or how can I say, I can accept it. I can accept it more. Yeah. That's one of the examples, actually. Yeah. And stirring and anoint us with a spirit and power, something like that. Okay, so that's what stir. Okay, S-T-I-R. S-T-I-R. Mix, right? S-T-I-R. But many Asian classmates of mine was saying, steer. Yeah, because in the Philippines, you were really faithful to the spelling. So S-T-I-R is the stir, but steer. Yeah. Steer. And
we also have the occur.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So that was all. No. But also, when I started learning the Philippine variation, you know, that's interesting because my English was artificially learned through textbooks and teachers. But my Filipino English was naturally learned from my friends. So I naturally started to say, okay, let's go to the restaurant. Yeah, because R-E-T-A-U, right? So that's why many of my Ilocano speaking, Kangkanai speaking friends said, let's go to the restaurant. It was very natural because in restaurant and restaurant are now bilingual in me. Because restaurant is one thing, that's English I learned in Japan, and restaurant is another thing that I learned in the Philippines. So interesting, right? I learned stir and share with in Japan, and it really sticks to me. And when the Philippine variation came, it was really weird. But this word, restaurant, both of them are peacefully in me, you know, because I naturally learn. That's why I'm saying, learn your missionary language naturally through your friends. Textbooks will help, but your friends will help you more. Thank you for your embarrassing question.
Now I understand.
Yeah, so I can now say, Aisos. Aisos means oh my goodness. Yeah. But Aisos, I is I, but I, surprise, I. But sos is from Jesus. Jesus. Yeah, Aisos means oh Jesus in the Philippines. But Aisos was not in my textbook in Japan. I learned it here in the Philippines. So that's my favorite phrase today. Aisos. And this kind of what's that voice? Okay, a capitayo. Yeah. Somehow, you know, Ilocano speaking people use the falset. Tayo, a capitayo. I'm here. Yeah, that's part of me. I still, even after I go back to Japan, quitting as a missionary, I still dream in Ilocano. Ilocano is my heart language. Okay.
all these ideas are very interesting, but anyway, let's stop here. Okay, and let's have a 5-minute break. Okay, the 10 o'clock is coming. So any, I don't know, and somehow nobody sleeps in break. Any comments or questions? Just relax. How do you say? How do you say question? Okay? More, 0 first, 2nd diaspora English way, what do you call? Okay? What do you call? But more Asian way, how do you say? It's up to you. You can say, how do you say? Or what do you call? Okay? Something in Vietnamese and Mongolian. All right? So examples. How do you say dog in Vietnamese, Nepali? Okay? So you can just collect some data of, in this case, nouns, right? So dog, cat, chicken, coffee, okay? Chocolate, and cake. Right? But the next one, how do you say thank you? Of course, the same expression can be used for some short phrases. Okay? Maybe starting with some daily greetings, right? So good morning, how do you say good morning? How do you say it's delicious? Yeah? How do you say be quiet? Yeah? How do you say I love you? Yeah? So those questions. I really don't like that question. How do you say I love you in Japanese?
Watashi wa anata wa aishite
imasu. How do you say thank you? Arigato.
Oh, God, easy, I know that.
So how do you say you're welcome?
どういたしまして?
Huh? You know, arigato is easy, but you're welcome in Japanese is more difficult.
どういたしまして? So that's why I said どういたしまして?
I would say I love you. 私はあなたを愛しています. So usually I come up with a short version. And how to say I love you in Japanese? Simply, sukiyo. Sukiyo.
Sukiyo.
Sukida. All right. So how do you say I'm happy as far as my family are happy? Well, this is long. This is long. But try some long ones, you know, for your training.
English.
Okay.
I'm happy. I'm happy.
Sometimes, anyway, like doitashimashite, you know, you are expecting a very short answer, but their answer could be very long already, right? So, like, nice to meet. What do? How do you say? Nice to meet you in Hirokano. They always say, But also, you can go more situational, like, what do you say when? Okay? What do you say when? What do you say when you celebrate someone's birthday? Mm-hmm. You know, with this, what do you say when? What do you say if? Question, you can go more natural. Because the first one, how do you say thank you in your language, that's more translational, right? And oftentimes, direct translation, there is direct translation, but actually people don't say that in an actual context, right? So if you say the translated one, it's actually a little bit weird in the real context. There may be some cases like that. So, this question, what do you say when, what do you say if, will help you to collect more natural data based on more natural context situations.
So what do you say when you celebrate your birthday, someone's birthday? No, so when you ask the question, how do you say happy birthday in Japanese? How do you say happy birthday in Japanese? Maybe many Japanese people say happy birthday. Happy birthday. Okay? Happy birthday. But if you say, what do you say when you celebrate someone's birthday? Yeah, some speakers may say happy birthday. But some speakers may say, otanjoubi omeretou. Otanjoubi omeretou. Otanjoubi means birthday. Omeretou means celebration. Okay? And otanjoubi omeretou and happy birthday, which one do we use more often? Perhaps I think we use otanjoubi omeretou more often. Unless you're young people. Young people more often say happy birthday. But my parents would say otanjoubi omeretou. My grandparents would say otanjoubi omeretou. So this question is very helpful, okay, to collect similar data from more natural context.
It's very interesting. When we say happy birthday, right? Koreans often say congratulations for the birthday. That is their concept. Yeah.
This year I'm turning 50. Congratulations on my 50th birthday. I have achieved a certain degree.
That's right. Omeretou, right?
Omeretou. Congratulations.
That's right. Japanese saying omeretou literally means congratulations. So, otanjoubi omeretou, happy birthday, congratulations.
Weird, right? Weird.
But that's the natural way of speaking in that language. Yeah. And we have to learn something more natural for a better social bonding. Okay? So what do you say when you're hungry? Okay, what do you say when you're full? Yeah, mabisinak and mabnapsugak, you will learn Ilocano. Okay, how do you say if you gutom na ako? How do you say if you will be late for an appointment? Okay?
Sorry.
Go man. Okay, and that's Japanese. What do you say if you'd like to lend some money from your friend? Yeah? Okay.
We need to lend it.
And number three is a very direct way. Can you translate? Okay. Can you translate? But again, once again, be careful. Sometimes the direct translation is not necessarily the most natural one native speakers may say. Okay? But it's okay because you are still a beginner. Okay? Something is much better than nothing. Even a weird expression is much better than nothing. Do you understand? So you memorize this direct translation into English and say it, and people laugh at you. It still works. Right? It still works. Because you are a beginner, and with a beginner's luck, they will forgive you. They will correct you. Sometimes native speakers' correction is too offensive. You're wrong. More nice. And you'll be hurt. You don't have to speak that way. Just be nice to me. But with a beginner's luck, they may correct you and they may help you. And, you know, since you're a beginner, you can just correct yourself. And next time, you can try a more natural one. Okay? So, something in the target language at your level right now is much better than nothing. Okay, say something. Okay, don't stay silent. Say something. Yeah, even say something. Yeah, otherwise people may misunderstand you. This person doesn't like me. And oftentimes, the power relation between the missionary sending country and missionary receiving country, right? Oftentimes, those missionary people and the missionary receiving country, they have an inferiority complex, psychological inferiority complex to missionary sending people from missionary sending country. So that's why if you stay quiet, they'll be offended, they'll be afraid, or they will misunderstand you, you don't like them. Because, you know, naturally they look at you as someone very reserved. Seriously, you are really thinking what to say next. How can I say happy birthday? The local people saying you are angry. You're dissatisfied. So that's why they just avoid themselves in front of you. Right? So be a comedian in front of your missionary people, right? It's much better to lose your dignity than people just avoiding you and never come back to you. Throw away your pride. For clarification, could you say that again? How do you pronounce that word? How would you spell that?
If there are scripts.
Okay? If there are no scripts, then just come again, please. Repeat that again, please. Okay, so that will really, really frustrate your language tutor. Again? Are you stupid? And they will never say that. But you can see, you can read their face. For elaboration, how about when you are not hungry? Okay? Avoid using negative. Because sometimes you are not hungry, they may say, not hungry. Or, you know, it's very difficult to reach to full, okay? The word full. So we need some techniques. How about if you were hungry yesterday? Okay, avoid using past. Avoid using negative also means that don't use grammatical words. Grammatical, technical terms. Okay? Positive, affirmative sentence, negative sentence, interrogative sentence. Difficult. Right? So, how do you say? How do you say if not? And how do you say when you ask? Okay? So, avoid those grammatical terms. So here, how about if you were hungry yesterday? You know, avoiding. What is the past tense of? Right? Do you understand? Because past tense, future tense sometimes don't make sense to those local people. Yeah, what is the past tense? How about if you think you will be hungry tonight? Again, avoiding future. Yeah, what if you like to say, yeah, then when do you say? This is a question to clarify when to use and how to use a certain sentence or phrase in the language that you have already learned. Okay? So, mabisin kami. Okay, you master mabisin kami. But you want to learn how to use it, when to use it. So, when do you say mabisin kami? Yeah. Then the answer will be when we are hungry. Okay? Because mabisin kami means we are hungry. Okay? Then, again, remember kami here and tayo here. Okay? We already discussed this. Mabisin kami, mabisin tayo. You don't know the difference, but because you understand both means we are hungry. So when do you say mabising kami? When do you say mabising tayo? Then the native speaker will explain, mabising kami. If I say mabising kami, you are not. Yeah? If I say mabising tayo, you also. Okay, something like that. Whatever the answer is, you can have some more information about these expressions. Okay? Practicing. Okay, so now you have collected some data. Okay, then you want to practice so that those expressions will be yours. Okay, then can you say, mabising kami slowly? Okay, so asking your native tutor to go in slowly. So, I would like to repeat after you. So, can you say mabising kami slowly? So,
mabising kami. Then you will repeat mabising kami.
Okay? And you can say faster,
mabising kami. Faster, faster,
okay. Then, okay, this is a technique.
Okay.
There is a theory that Pinsler also followed this, but if you repeat something, if you repeat from parts that comes later, the whole sentence will stick to your memory better. Okay? So if you have to practice mabising kami, don't start from mabising, hungry. Yeah, start with kami first. Okay? So you start with kami first. So that's why you say, can you say kami only? Then kami, 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 kami. Then can you say mabising? Mabising, 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 mabising. And asking you say, can you say kami? Kami, kami. Can you say the whole sentence, mabising kami? Mabising kami, mabising kami. Okay, so you try to build up a long one from the end of it. That will help your memory. Now, if you want to try doitasumashite in Japanese, start with maste. Maste. Do you remember the Pinsler's example of excuse me, not yesterday? Mm. You know, the instructor starting with the second half. Then first half. Then the whole part. Okay? So, lead your native tutor from the end of the sentence. Okay? So that you can memorize well. Okay? Can you say ak? Can you say kanak? Can you say sakanak? Can you say raksakanak? Can you say maraksakanak? Again, building up from the end. Okay? All right. Then, maintaining your relationship. Are you not tired? Shall we have a little break? You know? So, you maintain. Don't abuse your language tutor. Okay? They're also human beings, so they need breaks. Okay, and salamat, thank you, and always say thank you, so that those native speakers feel that they appreciate it. And in a Philippine context, they love address forms, like thank you Manong for elder brother, thank you Manang for elder sister, thank you Pastor for, thank you Pastora. Thank you, Bobby. Salamat, Bobby. Salamat, Caitlin. Always add something. Okay? Not only thank you, but thank you, sister. Thank you, pastor. Always say something. Thank you, name. Right? Thank you, Imari. And thank you, David. And thank you, Alan. Yeah, use the name. Because in some cultures, we are not really used to it. In Japanese, we don't say, we don't do that. So, okay. Oh, wow, that's very interesting. Oh, really great help. Oh, that's very difficult. Oh, so always overreacting. Okay? It's it's very important because sometimes in intercultural communication, you cannot read your partner's feeling very well. Okay? In Japanese and Koreans, we are often too stern. No facial expressions. All right? So that's why many Filipinos are afraid of Japanese and Koreans. It's looking scary. Okay? So again, try to overreact. Okay? Wow! Thank you! Oh, that's very difficult. Okay? So, be more active. You know, I have been in the missionary in the Philippines for 18 years. So that's why I'm sorry I'm teaching you already like this. Over animated. Because this is a result of trying to be friendly and open to local people. Okay? Maybe some of you find it weird. You know, look at this strange Japanese guy.
How can you know?
Okay, so as of today, you can fix up one hour practice. Okay, then try using these questions. Okay, to collect some data and practice. All right, maybe practice collecting some nouns like dog, chicken. You know, it's just a daily words. And also try one short phrase in one long sentence. Okay? Because you have only 15 minutes. Only 30 minutes for one language and 30 minutes for another language. All right? That's right. So 15 minutes for collecting data and 15 minutes for practicing it actually. And it, in between, continue to say thank you and good and you're cold and hungry and okay, right? Sorry. If you make a mistake, sorry. Okay. All right, so that's it. So tomorrow we will cover something about, okay, I will be very picky tomorrow, but something about second language learning, some points that you should better know, and some points about your field work with your tutors more. Okay? All right, so let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for today's contents and there were some complicated ones and there were some catchy ones based on more on our experiences. But Lord, help us understand these important concepts from linguistics and social linguistics. So Lord, we can be more sensitive to what's going on around us in terms of languages spoken in the missions field. And Lord, help us be more ready to face those situations, learn those variations, and also practice them to be more fluent, and not only in forms, but also in social contacts and social processes. So we will not only deliver knowledge, but also to build up relationships with local people more smoothly and more happily, so Lord, they can be friends and we can be their friends. Mm-hmm. Lord, thank you very much for your challenges to us today, and we will try to learn some languages from the MPC, MP3, and also from our group lesson, but help us to have fun. So Lord, language learning will not be what we are allergic about, against, but Lord, language learning is something we can really enjoy for your kingdom. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so thank you.
Thank you, Doctor.
Enjoy your break. Okay, enjoy your break. Some Kit Kat. There's no Kit Kat. Is there a TV commercial here in the Philippines? Have KitKat. Yeah, I went to Mall of Asia and there was a new bridge from the jeepney station to the building, and there was a KitKat bench.
Yeah, the brown, and the KitKat.
I took a picture of it. Kitokato. Oh, already practicing something? Very good.
Hello.
Okay, Laura's here.
Yeah, after language learning, you're learning spiritual warfare, right?
What's that? Spiritual warfare? Signs and wonders. Oh my goodness. That's right. You can combine them together. Learning languages with signs and...
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea. Signs and wonders.
Are you finished, Pastor?
Yeah. They're having a break now.
And then I will introduce you, and you can take over, and I'll go away again. So you're so good, you don't need my help. So.
Did the doctor
J.M. Hillis
arrive, Pastor?
Not yet. He's coming up tonight.
Oh, hi. What's your name?
Yes.
So you are science and you're wonders.
I'm just going to let this up. Be awesome.
But I believe you also have a lot of testimonies.
There was a sign, and there it's also a wonder.
Oh yeah, of course. But you say, look at us, husband and wife. This is not a sign. This is not a wonder. This is just natural.
Whoa. Great, naturally attractive.
Yeah, just take care, huh?
Venha.
Oishii? Masarap.
Oishii.
Thank you. Yeah, they're back. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Yes, I will.
Hey, see ya. New subjects. Different subjects.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so he's here. Thank you.
No.
Arigato. Thank you. Sorry.
Kamal.
Whoa,
please.
Okay, I think we're about ready to begin. I'm sure Dal will be back in a minute. And,